Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing from that the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. This is God's holy word. Last week we began looking at these verses in the book of Colossians dealing with what a Christian household looks like. And as I began last week, there's a certain amount of trepidation as a man who is neither married or a father to speak about marriage and fatherhood or parenting. But neither was the Apostle Paul married or a father. And by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have these words that God has given us of how he desires a Christian home, a home dedicated to serving the Lord, to look like. And as last week, we dealt with verses 18 and 19 that talked about marriage, the relationships between a wife and a husband. This morning, we're then going to move to the next natural relationship, which is that between a child and their parents. And as I mentioned last week, one of the unique features of these verses in Colossians, especially when you compare them to Ephesians and other places in the New Testament, Paul is very short and blunt about his directions. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So while these directions are very clear and short, we're going to spend a little bit of time unpacking them a little bit, bringing in other portions of the scriptures as well. And our first point this morning is basically the same point that Paul makes in verse 20, very short and simple. Children are to obey their parents. Now, this is a very simple command in a lot of ways. It's something that we know naturally, that there's a natural order. God has set up authority and structures in this world. We talked last week about you have the order that God has set up with the state, that there's a government order, that there's order within the church, and there's also order within the home. Specifically, last week we looked at the relationship between husbands and wives. Husbands are to lead their homes, and wives are to submit to their husbands. And here we see again, naturally, that there's an order then when you have children. Parents are to be the ones that lead their homes, and children are to obey their parents. There's a sense in which this is very simple. But we need to be careful to not lose in the simplicity of this command, also the seriousness of this command. For the requirement of children to obey their parents is not something that God views lightly, but something that he places great value on. I want to read two verses from 2 Timothy 3, and I want you to hear in this list, what is it that God says that is wicked and is coming in the last days? He says in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 2, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. And he goes on to continue this list. We don't often think of disobedience as being that big of an issue. But this is a specific characteristic of a sinful society that God includes this in that list. And this is an important thing. You know, growing up as a child in my home, I knew disobedience was wrong. But sometimes we forget how wrong that it is. This is something that God places as something very serious, something that he considers important. And there's also a sense here that why is it that multiple times in the New Testament, God specifically, he speaks to children here. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. There's a sense here that God is affirming that relationship, that parents are a gift to their children, a gift for their good. God desires, in the book of Malachi, God desires godly offspring. He desires a next generation to be raised up to love him and serve him. And he has given parents as gifts to children to raise them and to teach them what does it mean to follow the Lord. And so the responsibility that God has for children in the homes is to obey and listen to their parents. And it's very important to emphasize this because our culture teaches the exact opposite. I mentioned this last week, but throughout this entire section, verses 18 through chapter 4, verse 1, Paul's dealing with all the relationships we have in this world. You have marriage, you have family, parents and children, and then you also have relationships out in the world of the workplace, bondservants, masters, or in our modern context, employers and employees. And in all of these, God has a desire for what our lives should look like in those contexts, but the world teaches the exact opposite in so many of these areas. And this is true in terms of the relationship between parents and their children. Our culture does not honor and glorify parents. If you think about it, in so many of our children's stories and in our movies and TV shows and things, who are the ones who are lifted up and exalted? It's the child. And who are the ones that are put in a bad light? But it's the parents. Rebellion is often seen as a good thing in our culture. To fight against the institution. To fight against authority. And we see that in the home as well, where children are almost expected to run the home. But this is not the order that God has given us. Children are to obey their parents, to learn and to submit themselves to the gifts that God has given them, to train them and nurture them. As Paul said in Ephesians, what's the duty of parents but to teach them and to disciple them in the Lord? So children are to obey their parents. It's also important to notice here in verse 20 that Paul says that they are to obey their parents in everything. Now this is qualified in Ephesians chapter 6, and we talked about this before, that you know, all authority is derived from God, and any authority on earth that tells us to disobey God must not be listened to. And in Ephesians 6, Paul says that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. He includes that qualification, that if a parent tells a child to do something that is wrong, child's not supposed to listen to them. But in all other things, in everything, the calling that God has for children is to obey and to listen. This includes things that are difficult. This includes things that we may not like. I remember as a child growing up, there were many things that I was told to do or told not to do that I didn't want to do. There were many things that my parents told me to do that were difficult and hard. But God's calling for children is obedience in all things to their parents. And he adds at the end here, listen to this, what Paul says, why is it that children should obey their parents? He says, for this pleases the Lord. The reason that God specifically addresses children is because God cares as much about children as he does about adults. And while in this specific stage of life, God has a calling even for young people. And he has told them that he is pleased with their obedience. When we move on later on to talk about the relationship of bondservants and masters, we're going to emphasize this again. Notice that in those verses that we just read earlier, that Paul emphasizes that the obedience of an employee to the employer is not to man, but to God. And this includes obedience in the home. Ultimately, as a child obeys their parents, this obedience is not just to their parents. It's not even just for their parents. But ultimately, it's an obedience to their God. And as Christians, we desire to have homes where our children's ultimate allegiance is not to their parents, but to look through their parents to Christ, to their God, and to desire to seek to serve him first. And there's a very real principle here that by learning obedience in the home, we learn to obey God for all of our life. When you think about this for a moment, the first authority figure in a child's life on earth is their parent. And it is through obedience to their parents that they are being trained not to obey the parents for the rest of their lives, because they'll grow up and they'll move out of the house. But they learn to obey God for all of our lives. The relationship that we have as Christians with God is that of a child and a father. This is the metaphor that the Bible continually uses. And just as marriage is a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church, so also that relationship between children and parents also reflects the relationship between the Christian and his heavenly Father, where all of us as children of God are to obey our Heavenly Father in all things. And this pleases him. Children are to obey their parents, as we see here. But of course, naturally then, as we think about the fact that children are to obey their parents, there's also an implicit idea here, which is our second point, that parents must teach their children to obey. As I mentioned already, the home is a training ground for the entire Christian life. The principles that are to be, to be part of our home life, they then play out into the rest of our lives, or they should. As children learn to obey their parents, they then learn also how they are to obey God in all things. But in parenting in our world, there are two main issues that we often have, two main temptations that we fall into. And the first of those I want to address now, and that's the problem of passive parenting. And we all know what this looks like in our culture. This is when children run the home and the parents don't do anything to train their children what it means to obey. There is no correction. There is no discipline. There is no trying to help them to learn right from wrong and to correct them if they go in the wrong paths. I remember one person I know in my family who had this idea that, children are these blank slates. They're innocent. And any kind of discipline is just bringing authority upon them that they don't need and trying to restrict them, that you need to let them be free and creative and they'll figure it out on their own. And we know from experience that the people this individual is allowed to be put in charge of, the results were not good. And we can think, I'm sure, of many examples of others where we've seen where a lack of discipline did not lead to righteousness, but to chaos and wickedness. Passive parenting hinders children from pleasing the Lord. Let me say that again. Passive parenting hinders children from pleasing the Lord. If God is pleased, when children obey their parents, then refusing to teach them how to obey is keeping them from pleasing God. And even worse than that, to fail to discipline a children, and if what I'm saying is true here, that the relationship between parents and children teaches us about the relationship between us and God, the failure to discipline children teaches them that God doesn't care whether they obey or not. It teaches them that God is a passive parent to his children. That he is a heavenly father who does not discipline, who does not care whether they obey or disobey. Parents have this responsibility that they must teach their children to obey. And in doing that, they enable their children to better please the Lord. Now, this isn't a responsibility that's just limited to parents, but it also extends to the whole church. Paul is writing here to the whole church as well, and that the whole church, as the one body of Christ, has a responsibility to help encourage this, to help support this. Whether you have children or not, whether you're single or married, we all have a responsibility as we, you know, if we think about what Paul said earlier, to build one another up in the body of Christ. We all have a responsibility to encourage one another, to support one another. And in particularly, even to support families and that relationship between parents and children. Where we encourage parents to not give up, but to continue to persevere in the raising of their children. And as we interact with the children in the congregation, that we are active and encouraging them to listen and to obey their parents. The whole body of Christ has a responsibility to work together to encourage and build each other up in following Christ, and that includes what Christ wants in the home. So we've talked about how children are to obey their parents. And we've talked about how parents must teach their children to obey and to not be passive in the home. And then this brings us to our third point, which Paul says in verse 21. He says directly to fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And that parents are to not provoke their children. That's our third point. Now, this was a very interesting verse to me growing up. I want to explain what I mean by that. When I was young, my parents disciplined me. And so I learned from a very young age that when I disobey, that was wrong and that was sinful. And my parents would explain to me about how when I disobeyed them, this was also sin. This was sinning against God. And that's why they had to discipline me, to help teach me to not disobey and to do what was wrong. Well, as a young child, I noticed this and I recognized the validity of it. But as I looked around the world and I looked at my parents, I was like, no one tells them what to do. And I don't see them ever getting disciplined. So obviously that means adults don't sin. I mean, if no one tells them what to do and they never get disciplined, that must mean they're never disobeying or doing anything wrong. So obviously adults don't sin. I can't wait to be an adult. I mean, it's going to be so much easier to obey God when I'm an adult and don't have to listen to anybody. Obviously that view didn't last very long. In verses like verse 21 and Ephesians 6, verse 4, where we have this direct command to parents that they also have responsibilities in how it is that they raise their children. In fact, there's even a sense here that parents can sin against their children. And as a child, this was significant to me to see that adults can sin too. and that God cares not just about how children treat their parents, but he also cares about how parents treat their children. We need to remember here that God values children just as much as he values adults. And what we see here in particular, verse 21, that as God speaks to parents generally, but to fathers in particular, we see that fathers are responsible for establishing the culture of the home. What is it that the home life is like in fathers as the head of the household are specifically addressed here? And as I mentioned earlier, there are two ways that parents sometimes have problems in parenting. One is the passivity of the children run the household. But on the opposite side of that, the opposite of passivity is tyranny. Of tyranny in the home. Yes, parents are in charge. They have an authority that comes from God, just as the state has an authority that comes from God, and just as the officers of the church that has an authority that comes from God. But there is also such a thing as the misuse of authority in each of those cases. And this includes parents as well. An overbearance, being overly severe or overly strict in how they treat their children. There's a sense of, listen to what he says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Or even hearing the language from Ephesians, father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We need to remember, as we think about our homes reflect the relationship that we have with God. And we know that God disciplines us. Hebrews 12 talks about this, that God disciplines us as his children. But God disciplines us in love. And he does not condemn us. Our Heavenly Father does not beat us down. But his desire is for us to grow through discipline to better obedience. But God is not an overbearing father. He does not treat us as slaves, but as children. And sometimes parents, in a desire to teach their children to obey, can become more like tyrants, treating their children as slaves, rather than fathers and children, or parents and children. This can be a difficult balance to walk, but it is a very necessary balance. Because how we treat our children teaches them something about God, even if it's not explicit. If all our children receive is condemnation in the home, then what they will hear is that God is a heavenly Father who has nothing but condemnation for his children. But that is not the Father that God is. As we belong to Christ and are children of God, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Yes, there is discipline and there is correction, and that is never pleasant, and it can be difficult and painful. But there is also that constant affirmation of the love and care that God has for his children. I can't remember where I read this, but I read recently of a man talking about his upbringing, and he said, I know that my father loved me, but he never wanted me to see it. And that is a very heartbreaking testimony, one that we should not have in Christian homes. Because the result of that is a provocation either to anger or to discouragement in the hearts of our children. And as we've said already, God cares about them just as much as everybody else. Our home should be one that reflects the loving care of our Heavenly Father, care of discipline, but also a confidence and assurance that our children know that we love them, that they are safe in the home. And as they experience that love and discipline from the care of their earthly parents, the desire should also to be that they may then have a confidence in the love and care of their Heavenly Father as well. And that should be an encouragement for all of us to whatever upbringing we may have had to hear these truths, that our Heavenly Father is a Father who loves us and cares for us, who wants us to feel confidence in that, to have assurance in that, to be able to rest in that reality. That while we still sin, and He will discipline us when we sin, He does not reject us. He does not turn us away. But He continues in the midst of our struggles to wrap His arms around us. That our Heavenly Father is one that never lets us go. That as we live in Christ, He embraces us. This should be an encouragement for us as we live our lives in this world, just as much as it is an encouragement for how our homes should look like, what the culture of our homes should look like. Where our homes are not homes of fear, but our homes are homes of confidence in the love of our earthly parents and in the love of our heavenly Father. Let us close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You so much for the truths of Your love and care for us. We ask that we go out this day, that those truths would be continued to press upon us, that we would have a confidence in our relationship with You, that we would know Your love for us, and that we would be able to reflect that love in all of our life circumstances and all those in whom You've put us with relationship. We pray all of these things, that we would be conformed more and more to the image of Your Son by Your word through Your Spirit. So we pray in Christ's name. Amen.